Dr. William R. Glaze will have a live Facebook event Tuesday, April 18th, 2017 at 7:30 p.m. During this live event, Dr. Glaze will address the topic, The Bible Under Attack. Many people do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. They believe the Bible is riddled with mistakes and contradictions, while others believe it has been tampered with, it is outdated, and has no relevancy for today. There will be an opportunity for you to post your questions or comments, and Dr. Glaze will respond. You can access your Facebook page by going to www.facebook.com/anchoredinjesusministries. Make plans to join Dr. Glaze on Tuesday, April 18th at 7:30 p.m. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will begin a new series titled Rekindling the Fire of Evangelism. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Fanning the Embers of Evangelism.
I asked my 9-year-old granddaughter, Casey. I said, Casey, if someone was lying on the ground about to die, and they said to you, how can I get into heaven? What would you tell them? And I'm going to share with you her response in a second. But in the notes that were passed out, there is a question that's asked. And the question that is asked is pretty much the one that I asked her. If a person was lying on the ground dying and asked you, how can I go to heaven? What would you tell them? So I want us to just think for a minute. And I'm going to give you the opportunity. If you want to write your answer in there, if you want to just think about it in your mind as to what you would say. But I think that this is a question that we all need to grapple with. This is a question that we all need to understand. And as a child of God, as a disciple of Christ, this is a question that we all need to be able to answer. So let me just give you a few seconds, a few moments to ponder on that. And like I said, if you want to write your answer down, you can write your answer down. Somebody was lying on the ground, dying, getting ready to leave this earth, and they asked you, how can I go to heaven? What would you say? What would you say? Amen. Now, my hope is that you wouldn't need that much time, because a person might die while you're... But as my granddaughter, Casey, began to think about the answer to that question, my wife encouraged her and said, just remember what you did. And my granddaughter said, Pop, I would tell them that they need to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's the only way that a person can get into heaven. And again, I would have a tendency to think that if a person is lying there, because, you know, and we're going to deal with some of these things as we go through the series of messages today, this month. But there are some people that make a profession with their mouth, right? And they just repeat something because they heard somebody else say it. But I would have a tendency to believe that if a person is lying there on the ground, and that's the question that's in their heart, that I got to believe that somewhere God, through the Holy Spirit, has connected with their heart. And they're not asking that question from the head. They're not asking that question in an abstract way, but they're asking that question from their heart. And if they're asking it from the heart, as we read through the New Testament especially, and similar people ask that question, and it was said in various ways, but the message was the same. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so as we look through the New Testament, we see the answer is given over and over again. And my brothers and sisters, I'll say this morning. If you answered any other way. Again, now, it might be put in different forms, it might be put in different words, but if the essence of your answer was not, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have the, I'm not going to say that you're not saved, but you have the wrong concept about how a person is to get into heaven. And so next week or the week after, I'm not sure, but I'm going to spend a whole message explaining the gospel and breaking down the gospel. Because I think that, you know, I remember Vince Lombardi. Every year when he would come in, and if you don't know who Vince Lombardi was, he was one of the greatest coaches that ever coached in the NFL. And, I mean, he was, you know, there's the trophy is named, the Lombardi Trophy. So, I mean, he was one of the greatest football coaches ever. And every year when Vince Lombardi would come in and talk to his players at the first meeting, he would always go back to basics. And, you know, the first thing he would say, some of y'all might have heard this somewhere before, but he would hold up a football, and he would say, gentlemen, this is a football. You know what I'm saying? So every year, I mean, these guys were making big money. They were the best players in the world. And every year he came before them, he would say, this is a football. And then he would take them from there. And brothers, sometimes we need to go back and we need to say, this is the gospel. Because this is all we have. If we don't have this, you know all we are if we don't have the gospel? We are just a social club. You know, we can come, you know, wine and dine and fellowship and leave and just say, oh my, what a good time we had. But the gospel is our business. This is our business. The gospel should be your business. It shouldn't be left up to the pastor. It shouldn't be left up to the evangelism team, but the gospel is everybody's business. And so hopefully that first question that was answered, you got it right. And if you didn't, be not discouraged. Be not dismayed, because we're going to talk about what the gospel is, and we're going to talk about evangelism. So the next thing that we see in the pass out, the handout that I gave, is during this series, would you ask God to lay some unsaved person on your heart? And would you commit to pray for them during this time? And not only pray, but be open to how God would use you in their life. And so at the end of this message, you know, there's no excuse for people to say that, well, I don't know what to tell them. Because we're going to break it down and make it so simple that even a caveman can understand it. All right? The next thing, the fire of evangelism is burning low in a lot of churches. And might I add, even in the hearts of many of God's people. Great emphasis is being placed on worship, fellowship, instruction, and administration. However, the last and greatest command that Jesus left for the church is to make disciples. The first key element in making disciples is evangelism. And you know, I heard somebody say that evangelism starts the minute that you meet a person. Evangelism starts the minute that you meet a person. Why is that? Because they might be the only gospel. I mean, you might be the only gospel that they ever see. And how you respond, how you react, that may gauge, that may affect the way that they see Jesus Christ. That may affect the way they see the cross. And if they meet you and you are obnoxious and ignorant and rude, then they're going to say, as I've heard it said many times, and I'm sure that many of you have probably heard it said before, is that if that's Christianity, I don't want any of that. So sometimes we got to ask the question, and there's a poem, and I wish I'd have brought it. I, I didn't bring it, but the last line of the poem says, "What is the gospel according to you?" What is the gospel according to you? Your life is the gospel. Your life is the gospel. And even if, you know, I like what, I think it was one of the great evangelists, Billy Sunday, one of the great evangelists of the past. They said, it was St. Augustine, that's who it was. He said, preach the gospel by any means necessary. And use words if you have to. Let that sink in. Preach the gospel by any means necessary. And use words if you have to. Your life is the gospel. When people look at you, they see the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we look at the fact that, you know, Jesus said that we are to make disciples. And the first key element in making disciples is evangelism. A person cannot be a follower of Christ unless they have been won to Christ. In this message, we want to deal with fanning the embers of evangelism that are about to die. And in the lives of many Christians, they have already died. And in the lives of other Christians, they are burning low. And so hopefully in this message, we want to stoke the embers by instilling or renewing the passion for evangelism. If you go to that next slide, we see that there are three components of a fire. Three components of a fire. That if you eliminate any one of these three, you won't have a fire. The fuel, if there's nothing to fuel it, that's why, you know, these wildfires in California, they keep burning and burning and burning when they start. Why? Because it goes from one tree, one forest to another. And there's fuel to keep it going. There's heat. If you don't have the heat, if you don't have the flame, then you don't have a fire. And if you don't have air, you don't have a fire. So eliminate one of these three and the fire is out. And so when we look at that in terms of the gospel and evangelism, we see the fuel. What is the fuel of evangelism? It's the gospel. It's understanding the gospel. It's knowing the gospel. And again, I'm going to spend a whole message just breaking down the gospel and what the gospel is. But let me very simply tell you what the gospel is. The gospel, the word gospel, is good news. That's exactly what the word gospel means. It's good news. And what is the good news? The good news is that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. That's the good news, and that is the gospel. And so as believers, we have to understand that. We have to understand that the gospel, the good news, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we see what gives breath. What gives breath to it? What gives the air to it? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. You can't do any work. You know, I got a message that I want to share, and I look forward to this message. I love this message, and it is the believer's role in evangelism. What is your role in evangelism? And when we understand that, you know, we don't have fear. We don't get intimidated. We don't get frustrated. But when we understand our role in evangelism, man, we can go forth and serve the Lord with gladness. And so we see that the Holy Spirit plays a major role in evangelism. And the Holy Spirit is the breath. The Holy Spirit is the air. And then we need what? Just like a fire, we need the heat. We need the passion. And where is that at? I'm going to tell you exactly where it is. You know where it's at? It's in your heart. It's in your heart. It's in your heart. So I asked the question this morning, if there are three elements to a fire, if there are three elements to rekindling evangelism, we know that the gospel is available. We know that the Holy Spirit is available. So the question comes, and the question that we must ask is, do we have the passion? Do we have the passion? And the fact is that evangelistic fires, evangelism fires, are burning low. And I think that, you know, man, Satan has caused us to be occupied with issues and with our own problems, and we get so occupied with our own problems that we lose sight of the mission and the main thing. You know, I refuse this year to get sidetracked by little squirrels and squirmishes and look, I just refuse, because you know what? And maybe it is because I'm getting older, and I realize that, you know, I don't, you know, my time on this earth is coming to an end. And each year I come to the realization, man, you don't have time for foolishness. You don't have time, you know, for foolishness. I'm just gonna say that. Man, there's people that are dying. There's people that are going to hell, and the church is arguing about, you know, little things. And you know, we need to be focused on the big picture, and that is, you know, winning souls for Jesus Christ, seeing people discipled and come to the knowledge of salvation. And so what happens, I believe that Satan keeps us sidetracked with all these other things that he keeps us dealing with, so that we miss the main point. Yeah, I remember reading a story, and I know I've shared it before, about Max Lucado, one of the great writers of our day. And I remember reading a story about Max Lucado and how every year his family would go on a family vacation. And one year his sister got sick, and the mom and the sister couldn't go. And so him and his dad went, and his dad said, well, since the rest of the family can't come, we'll let you take a friend. And so he took his best friend. And they went, and they were going to have this great fishing excursion. And so they got there the first day, and it was raining cats and dogs. So, you know, they didn't fish. The next day they woke up, it was still raining. The third day they woke up, it was raining. And by that time, I like what Lucado says in his book. He says, by that time I realized that my friend, his feet would stink. And I never knew that before. And then me and my friend, you know, we began to bicker, and my dad, he got fed up with us bickering, and he started hollering at us. And he said by the fourth day, it was still raining, and his dad said, well, look, let's just go home. And Lucado writes in his book, he said, I realized a very important lesson. That is, when fishermen don't fish, they fight. When fishermen... When fishermen don't fish, they fight. When we let the main thing stop becoming the main thing, then we start focusing on other things. And so as we look at the message today, you know, I want to talk about fanning the embers of evangelism. And so the first thing that I want to say as we talk about fanning the embers of evangelism, this passion, that all of us should have a passion. And, you know, again, keep in mind that one of the things that's needed to keep a fire going is the fuel or the passion. And so we see what should be our passion. And I want to share five things with you that should be our passion. Number one, we should not want to see anyone go to hell. We should not want to see anyone go to hell. Now, I know there's a big thing out today about the fact that there really isn't a hell, and that a lot of people have discredited hell. But, you know, when I look at the Bible, you know, it's still in there, and, you know, God hasn't taken it out. And so, you know, we realize that as the book of Revelation says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And you know, that should be a passion in our heart, that we should not want to see any of our loved ones go to hell. I was listening to Chuck Swindoll this past week, and he gave this illustration. He said an article appeared in the newspaper about an officer who pulled a lady over and gave her a citation. When she rolled down her window, he handed her the citation, and she snatched it out of his hand, and she responded, "You can go straight to hell." And the police officer, taken back, he took her to court. And so they appeared in court, and when they appeared before the judge, A few days later, the judge dismissed the case, and the police officer didn't understand it. And the judge said, and this was, and I quote, he said, what the lady said, it wasn't a command or a wish, but a pure statement, a fact, that going to hell is a possibility. And so he threw the case out. So what is it? Going to hell is a possibility. That it don't have to be, but it is. And when we think about the fact that our loved ones, you know, and let me just appeal to the moms for a second. Somebody that you gave birth to, that you carried in your womb for 9 months, and you delivered into this world, and the fact that they would grow up and go to hell, that should give us a passion. Man, there should be a passion in every mom's heart for their child to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you grew up in the home with a sibling, and you spent Christmases together, you spent Thanksgivings together, you went on vacations together, you spent quality time together over the years, and the fact that your loved one is going to die and go to a Christless hell, man, there should be a passion in our soul that desires to not see them go there. And just think of the different relationship scenarios and people that we know, that we work with, that are our neighbors, and they would actually die and go to hell. If you put up that next slide, what is this guy thinking about? What is he thinking? We have all seen this Rodin's statue of the thinker. What is he thinking about? Well, this is taken out of Dante's Inferno, and basically this man is standing or sitting before the gate of hell, looking at hell, and a lot of people don't know this, looking at hell and thinking about the horrors of hell. Maybe we need to be like this statue right here. Maybe we need to kneel, pray in meditation, and just think about what that means. You know, we don't think about that. Again, I mean, hey, I've said over and over again, if I was God, I wouldn't let anybody go to hell. If I was God, because I in my mind, I just can't fathom the fact that somebody is going to suffer eternally. That I can't comprehend that. And I struggle with that whole idea. So if I wrote a Bible, you know, I would make a way for everybody to get in. Because that's what I want to see. But even though I have this Bible, and even though I told it, and even though I quote it, I didn't wrote it. So I didn't put it in there. It's in there. And if we accept it by faith, then we have to realize that people that we love and people that we know are dying, and that's exactly where they're going. And when I think about a quote by Charles Spurgeon, Spurgeon said, if people are going to go to hell, let them go jumping over our bodies to get into the flame. Wow. If they're going to go to hell, let them go jumping over our bodies to get into the flame. And so, the first of all, we need to have a passion.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Understanding the Gospel. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Fanning the Embers of Evangelism, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Fanning the Embers of Evangelism. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Fanning the Embers of Evangelism. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.